Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, perhaps and most likely the most recognizable Christian hymn in the world, was written by the Anglican priest John Newton. But John Newton's first career in life was a slave trader. He ran a slave ship in the Atlantic slave trade from slaves from Africa back to England. And he did not believe in God, and he ridiculed those who did. But one day on the high seas in a mighty storm, the hull had been breached, the boat was filling with water, John Newton cried out to God to save him. And as the water lifted, the cargo shifted and blocked the hole, and the ship drifted to land. And it is this moment where John Newton claims as the beginning of his conversion to Christianity. Have you ever been lost? I mean, perhaps you have a moment in your life like when you were a child and maybe you got separated from your parents and all of a sudden you realized they weren't around and you were scared. I, as a really smart high school kid, went hiking with friends once, and we went off the path, because that's what high school kids do, and we got lost. And we got lost for hours. We were lost and the sun went down. And the good news and the bad news was we actually found a road, but between us and the road was a fence that said, "Warning, military institution, live ammo drills, do not enter." The park was right next to a military facility. Having no other recourse but to return to the darkness of the woods, we hopped the fence and, as scared as we were, followed that road to a home. But man, I would have given anything if somebody would have showed up and found me before that moment. Being lost is that sense of where we don't know where we are, we don't know where we need to go, and it's dangerous, or at least perceived dangerous, of where we are right now. You know, this day in our national history, September 11th, is a day that for us as a nation, we felt lost. And perhaps personally, for some of us who lost loved ones, it can still be an echo of a moment in our lives where we didn't know where we were, didn't know where we needed to go or how to get there, and we felt in danger. Lost. Well, remember, Jesus came to earth to tell us the truth about God and what it means to be truly human. And in our two stories today from Jesus, one of a shepherd going to find a sheep and a woman looking for a lost coin, Jesus tells us what God does when we are lost. God finds us. This is good news. And it's not something we have to initiate either. When we are lost, God actively seeks us out. When the shepherd discovers that one of his 99 has gone astray, he leaves the other 99 in safe hands and looks in the wilderness and will not stop until that one is found. When the woman loses one of her 10 coins, she lights a lamp, grabs a broom, and sweeps the house carefully to find that lost coin. And these aren't the only two stories in Scripture. Scripture tells us again and again and again that God seeks us out actively. When the Israelites were alone in the wilderness, wandering for years, it was the Lord who showed up and led them by a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. In his letter, James tells us, chapter 4, verse 5, that God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. God jealously yearns for us. And jealousy, if you've ever been caught in it, is not a passive, nuanced emotion. It is active and it is aggressive. But even in small things, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, promises to show up. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, when we are praying, Paul tells us that likewise, The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. We're lost. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. God comes to us. And perhaps, look, the greatest example of this is that to a poor family to an occupied nation and to an oppressed people, Jesus, God, came in the form of a little baby. God is actively looking for the cracks to flood into our lives, to fill us with grace and transform the world. God is seeking us, and God will find us. And this is good news. And there's more good news, because really good things happen when God finds us. But what's even better also is what isn't there when God finds us. Notice what isn't there when the shepherd finds the sheep and the woman finds the coin. There's no, well, why did you get lost? Well, you made mistakes, so you got lost, or you shouldn't have gotten lost. There is no belittling from Jesus. There is no shaming. There's no should-haves or condescending. There's not even any consequences or punishment. Because you see, being away from God isn't a crime. It's actually acting outside of who we truly are, who we were intended to be. So being away from God is more like a fish being out of water. Sure, the fish is alive for a while, but that life is focused only on wiggling around and gasping for breath. So when Jesus finds us, there is no need for punishment, because the consequence is simply being away from God in the first place. There is no shame in being away from God. It's good news. And what there is when God finds us, first, there is joy. Both the shepherd and the woman, we are told, rejoice at finding what was lost to them. There is an abundance, an exuberance, an explosion on God's part of joy, of true happiness, of gratitude and thankfulness when one of us is found. But you see, it doesn't simply end there, because both the shepherd and the woman and God realize that joy can't be kept simply to God. There is also celebration. And so the shepherd, the woman, return, and they call their family, and they call their neighbors, and they say, "Rejoice with me, for what was lost of mine is now found." The celebration continues. There is joy for the one who is found, for God, and all in God's immediate community and beyond. You see, God is in the business of finding us, of being joyful that we are found and celebrating that we are found and extending that joy and celebration to others. This is good news. And what's also good news, and this is where I get excited, is that once we've been found, rejoiced over, and celebrated, then we get to go out and do the same. The Jesus way of life is actually that of a treasure hunter. We are Indiana Joneses for Jesus. And that treasure is none other than the lost children of God, God's beloved people. And if you remember in Scripture why Jesus is telling these stories in the first place, it's because the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious uppity-ups, are grumbling. The Scripture says they are grumbling over the fact that Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus tells this story to tell them, no, I get to decide who's a treasure to God. God gets to decide who's important to God. And so what Jesus is saying is that it doesn't matter where you're from, what you do, what your battle scars are, or your lifestyle choices are, you are a beloved treasure of God, because you are God's own. You are God's child. And so we are called into the good life, the abundant life, the joyous life of being treasure hunters for God. How exciting is that? Except you may be sitting there going, "Yeah, but my life doesn't feel like a treasure hunt." There's times in my life where I still feel confused. In fact, there are often moments where I still feel lost. That's okay. In fact, I heard it said recently that, you know what, it's okay when everything's not okay. The truth is, what we have to rely on is the fact that we are told again and again and again in Scripture and in Christian tradition that God finds us, that we are not alone. In fact, I'll argue that God has already found us. God is here and now and currently is celebrating and joyfully transforming our lives. But if you don't believe me, let's go back to John Newton. He has this tremendous conversion moment on the high seas. God saves him. And for 8 more years, he continues his life as a slave trader. Finally, he realizes that that is no longer congruent with his understanding as a Christian. And so he gives it up, takes a menial job in Liverpool, and begins to study to become a priest. And first, he's rejected by the Anglican Church. And then, he's rejected by the Independent Church. And then, for ordination, he's rejected by the Presbyterian Church. And then, even the Methodists rejected him. I grew up Methodist, by the way. And finally, 10 years after his initial journey of giving up slavery and trying to become a priest, he returns to the Anglican Church and is accepted into the process and ultimately becomes an Anglican priest. And it wasn't until 15 years after that that he wrote and published that beautiful song that you and I and the whole world knows too well, that song that echoes in our hearts today, that what was lost is now found, and that there is indeed something called amazing grace. So you're a treasure hunter. It's not always going to feel like that, but the good news is that you're not alone. God, the good God above, is hunting for treasure as well, and you are the partner by his side. And this is the good life. It's the life that may possibly be worth dying for, but I proclaim to you now that it is certainly the life worth living for. It's the good life. And this is good news.